We've been talking about renewing your mind this month, and it's been the month renewing your mind for change. But tonight I want to talk to you about a new look, or renewing your perspective. And what I mean by that is seeing things differently than you're accustomed to seeing them. Right? Because if we're really going to see change, we've got to see things differently. We've got to act differently. We've got to walk differently. We've got to talk differently. Because our perspective must line up with His perspective. So you'll see that, hopefully, as I go through this. But if you'll turn to Mark 11. And this is an interesting story. And again, I want you to try to put yourself in this story for just a minute. So just imagine you're in the Middle East. It's you know, it's hot, it's dry, it's whatever. And you're walking along with Jesus. You're just, you know, going to the next stop. Jesus is always going someplace preaching to somebody. So I just get this picture of Jesus, and probably all of you have seen The Chosen and things, but you see Jesus, right, and you see Him, and He's got all these people following behind Him. But in this particular place, watch this. Now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, He sent two of His disciples opposite the village. Wait a minute, is that where I'm going? No, I didn't want to start there. Hang on just a minute. I got this. Actually, I didn't want to start there. Let's go down to, that's the whole Hosanna thing. Verse 11. And Jesus went into Jerusalem and went into the temple, so He had looked around it at all things. The hour was already late. He went to Bethany with the 12. Now on the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, He was hungry. Jesus got hungry, right? He was fully God, but He was fully man too. But this whole next setup is to point out to His disciples. You see, the whole time Jesus was preaching about the kingdom, but He was also training the disciples to teach about the kingdom.
That's right.
The constant thing was like, here's what I want. I want you to see what I do so that you can do what I do when I'm gone. So watch this now. He said, verse 13, it says, and having seen a fig tree having leaves, He went to see if perhaps it would find something on it. And when He found it, He found nothing for the leaves, for it was not yet the season for the figs. Now again, this is kind of interesting to me. Jesus went up looking for it, but it wasn't the season for it. Right? He went up to looking for it, but it wasn't the season for it. So the whole incident here is not about the figs. Right? It's not about the figs, but it's about the people that is walking with Him. Because He wanted them to see it. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat from the fruit of you ever again. And His disciples heard it. But just think about that for a minute. You're walking with Jesus. Now look at, in the natural, they've seen Him do all kinds of things. They've watched miracles. But He's still a man. Right? They're still walking with the man who has to eat. Right? He has to drink. He has to do everything that a normal human being with them. So they're walking with Him. And yeah, this guy's really cool. He's like nobody else we know. But He's still a man, right? And so they're going through this. We know, and Peter's even yelled out at one time, He's the Christ and all that. But still, they're trying to figure this all out. And so they heard this. And so they came to Jerusalem. Jesus went into the temple, began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. I just want to just stop for a minute, and this has nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about. But you know, there's a lot of people out there saying, well, you know, if you just act like Jesus, if you just be loving, accepting everybody. He wasn't like that. What I'm saying is, is that when he saw wrong, he confronted wrong. When he saw this, he didn't go up and, hey, would you guys please mind not, you know, selling things? If it's okay, and if you don't mind it, you know, maybe you get revenue somewhere. No, he said, this is my Father's house, and you're defiling it. And he kicked him out. Now, first of all, he had to be some kind of dude to kick him out. You know, he couldn't have been Wally Cox. Again, that's an old-time reference. But he couldn't have been a wimp and driven them out. He had to have authority and power and all that. But anyway, just get that. He's kicking them out. And watch this next verse. It says, and he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. You're not coming into my house this way. That's really cool. Okay, verse 17. And then he taught them, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations? But you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because of all the people were astonished at his teaching. You start doing things for God, people get jealous, right? People get envious. Why? Because they're not doing it. You ever thought about it? They got on Jesus all the time for healing people on the Sabbath or driving out demons. And my thinking is, you're not doing it, right? Nobody came to your synagogue and got healed. Nobody came to your synagogue and got delivered. Nobody fed 5,000 when you came to your synagogue. What you know, you'd think they'd celebrate, but no, the religious spirit got angry. And the religious spirit will still get angry when God starts doing things that aren't, you know, just absolutely the way they think they should be done. I'm telling you, there's a revival that's actually, I believe, there's an awakening that's here. It's happening now. We may not see it right in our area, but there's other parts of the country. I forget which university was back east, but there were 6,000 kids that got saved and baptized in a weekend on a major university campus. Just happened a couple months ago. And it's happening all over. And here's the deal. When there's a void and people, you know, are living for themselves for a long time and they find out that that's not working, then here comes Jesus to fill the void. I'll tell you, that's my testimony, right? What I was doing didn't work, what I was doing, but here comes Jesus. Okay, let's go on. I need to get to where I'm going. So when the evening had come, he went out of the city. So he's out and in, out and in. Now in the morning, as they passed by, so the day before they passed by, he said, tree, no more. In the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. First of all, watch it. They're walking with Jesus. He goes by. He doesn't see any figs, and they're going, it's not the season for it. But he says, you're not going to produce any fruit anymore. And they went, oh, okay. I mean, you know, all right. But they came back that evening and walked by this fig tree, I'm sure, and it was still fully enveloped with leaves. But then they came back in the morning, and they said it dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look! The fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And I'm sure Jesus didn't say it this way, but in his mind he's going, well, duh. Right? Duh. I said it. Duh. But he wasn't necessarily doing that, but he was going, I'm going to show you a principle that if you'll understand who you are, you can, and see things from a different perspective, you're going to be able to operate in the kingdom at a level that you can't currently. Right? So, and verse 22. So he said, look at this, man, look at it. Behold this, this is really weird. I mean, Jesus, you cursed it, and it's dead. And so Jesus, instead of going, well, yeah, dummy, he said this in verse 22, because sometimes it seems like Jesus doesn't really answer the question. Or doesn't he just segues into something else, but it's related. It's like some of the parables that somebody asks a question, he rattles off three parables. And the reason is because he wanted to get them to see something in their hearts so that they could act differently than where they were before. Now watch this. In verse 22, Jesus said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. I love this. Have faith in God. There's some translations that say have the God kind of faith and different things, but I like this. Have faith in God. In other words, your perspective needs to be built on your belief system in God. So if we can begin to see our lives through this perspective of God, it's going to change everything. Have faith in God. Our lives don't always make sense. Things that go on around us don't make sense. Sometimes even our expectations are not met, and that doesn't make sense. But at the end of the day, we have to have a perspective that God is God. He is who He said He is. He'll do what He said He'd do. And my trust and my faith is in Him. Period. Period. End of story. I don't know about you, but there's times I see things or things in my life, or maybe even my prayers didn't get answered the way that they thought they should have get answered, or we didn't keep the building that we have, and I go, what happened? If I look at it from the standpoint of what I didn't get or what I didn't have or what I don't, then my perspective is skewed. But if I begin to get a perspective that, you know, God, I trust you. See, faith isn't just about what I believe. It's in the person in whom I trust. And I have my confidence. So what faith are you of? Well, I'm a Buddhist. I'm a Christian. I'm a what? Well, okay, that's good. That's describes a set of people. But faith here is talking about your relationship with the Creator of the universe. Jesus is saying, have faith not in your system, not in what the scribes or anybody else tells you. Even what they tell you must be filtered through the perspective of your trust in the one who's promised. Right? So it's kind of like living our lives out. I trust God. And especially when things don't seem to be going the way you want, and for a lot of us, it's like, Lord, I'm believing you. Where's it at? I prayed 5 minutes ago. How come it hasn't changed? Or, but really, even I prayed 5 years ago, Lord, and nothing seems to happen. We have to come back to, but God, I trust you. I trust you. My faith is in you. And this faith also is confidence in what He has said He'll do. If He promised, it'll come to pass, right? If He spoke it, it's going to happen. It may not happen necessarily in your time. Have you ever thought about this? This is I think it's in 1 Peter. 1 Peter said, the day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. What does that mean? Well, it's now Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, right? Or actually 6:56. Yesterday, Tuesday, it's like, that's just a second. It's just a second. And I'll just explain it to you this way. Years ago, I was ministering to a family, and it was a tragic situation. They lost a young child, and I was talking to them and talking to God really about it and saying, God, you know, this just isn't right. This baby left way too early. And He said to me, He said, you're seeing things from your perspective. And I get it. And my heart is for you. He said, but you don't see things from my perspective. Because if a man dies when he's 10 or he dies when he's 100, to God it's just a few seconds. See, those loved ones that you've lost You haven't lost them. You know where they are, right? They're not lost. But those that have gone on before you, from your perspective, it's been, you know, 25 years, 27 years, 30 years since my folks left. But for them, in eternity, it's just a couple of seconds. It's no time at all. Because it's a different perspective. And so what I'm saying tonight is that if we want to renew our mind to what God says, then we have to try to look at everything through His perspective. Well, how do I do that? Well, first of all, you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. That's God's perspective. He is God, right? So it's like, Lord, I just need to see things through your eyes. So when Jesus is saying, have faith in God, it's like, begin to see things the way God sees them. Now let's go on. And these are verses that I've gone over for, I mean, literally most of my Christian life. He says, therefore, or verse 23, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be not cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now all of those two verses are based on verse 22. In other words, you can't just willy-nilly and say anything to anything and expect things to happen. It has to be based on your faith in God. And your faith in God is based on the Word of God or what God has said. You can't have faith in God outside of what God has said. Does that make sense? So it's kind of like when you're speaking to the mountain, it has to be in line with the will of God. But this says here, therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, they have that tree on their mind that was full of leaves yesterday and it's withered today. But what did Jesus do? He did exactly what this says. He said to the tree. And he believed in his heart, and so he said with his mouth, no one's going to eat of you again. And it came to pass. But I don't think Jesus was saying, now listen, fig tree, if it's not too much trouble, and I hope this works, I'm going to speak to you and command you not to live, right? No, he didn't do it that way. He knew in his heart that if he spoke to that tree, it was going to die. Why? Because he's the one that created it in the first place, right? He spoke everything into existence in the first place. But what he's saying is, because you're in me and because of your faith in God, if you'll start to look at it from his perspective, then your attitude and your authority and what you are going through can have a different outcome and a different perspective because of your faith in the one that's promised you the things that he's promised you. Let me give you an example how this worked in our lives. And Donnie was born, and she was a month late. You know, so Renita was already thrilled with her, but she was a month late. And funny story. So her grandmother comes out in the middle of December, and her grandmother was an accountant. And so baby's supposed to be born, due date, you know, second week of December, 10th of December, something like that. And so she's out there waiting. It's going to be great. She's going to see the baby born, all that, bond with the baby. Well, you know, a week went by, 2 weeks went by, Christmas goes by. First of the year, she has to get back for her tax business. She can't stay any longer. So then 11 days later, here comes our wonderful Donnie. And when she came out and her foot was bent and curled back like this. And the doctor said, well, it could come out by itself, but more than likely we're going to have to do surgery. I said, no, in the name of Jesus, that leg will be fine. That'll come right out. I spoke to her foot. I said, you come out in Jesus' name. Now, I didn't see it come out that instant. But by the next morning when I went to see her, it was completely straight and completely normal. Right? Because, listen, we have to understand that in God, we have some authority to speak to different things. But we have to go through the process of, first of all, looking at things from God's perspective. And then having God's word on it. And then standing in faith, knowing, watch this, because this is really interesting. He says, therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. When you pray, believe that you receive them. When you pray, believe that you receive them, because your perspective is God is hearing me, and if he hears me and I'm praying according to his will, I'll have what I ask. So when I pray for it, I've got it. Now when I pray for it, I'm going to wait till it comes. When I pray for it, I have it. See, it's looking at things differently from God's perspective. And it's communing with God. It's talking with God. But when God puts something in your heart, you begin to declare it. And then you don't care how long it takes for it to manifest or come out or be in your life. You just say, I know that God promised it. I know that it's mine. I have it in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. Again, I'll just give you a perspective. When I was down at Bible school years ago, I was on my bed and talking to the Lord and reading actually out of Matthew. And I came across the verse that says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to him? And so my mind raced back. I'd been a couple months from my home and my parents and all that. I was older, but you know, I started thinking about my dad. My dad sacrificed a lot. He wasn't a perfect man, but he's pretty close. And he sacrificed a lot. He was a pipe fitter in Seattle putting in gas mains. So he was in ditches all day long, digging ditches, putting pipe through ditches, hooking houses up. And there were winters, man, just day after day. This is where we live, right? Rain, 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 rain. I'd see him come home just muddy and everything. But he did that for us. I remember him, and this is what came to me. I remember him having holy T-shirts that he wore until they just couldn't be worn anymore, so that I could have soccer shoes to go play soccer, so that they could make a trip down to the store and get big jars of peanut butter and jelly so that we could have a Dugan special every day for lunch, right? That's the thought that was coming to me. And then God said, if he being less loving than I am, or born out of the sinful world that Adam left of, he being evil, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask? And so what did that do? That gave me just like the fig tree, that gave me a different perspective on how God loves me and how God views me and how God sees me. See, so I'm talking about perspective, but I'm talking about getting a different look. Not based on your circumstances, not based on your past, but based on his perspective. So when I got that inside of my heart, it was like it answered a lot of questions for me. For me personally, it's like God didn't take that, 13-year-old by that drunk driver, running them over and hitting their car. That was the enemy in conjunction with the man's choice that did that. That's not God. Do you see what I'm saying? Some people believe, well, God did, God's sovereign. He can do anything he wants, and everything that happens is because God. No, that would make God schizophrenic. Right? No. God gave us choice. Right? God gave us choice. And sometimes we have to live with the ramification, not of our choices only, but other people's choices. And even our perspective as it is right now is based on maybe somebody else's choice. And what we have to do is we have to say, Lord, this is where I am right now, but if it doesn't line up with your perspective, I want my perspective to change to your perspective. So from that day on, when I saw God in that light, it answered so many things. My dad, I could rely on. Again, I think it was my 11th or 12th birthday. My birthday is in November, and it was the fall of the year, and my parents let me know that they were going to get me a BB gun for my birthday. Right? When they told me that, I had the BB gun. We hadn't bought it yet, hadn't gone to the store yet, but I had the BB gun. Couldn't wait to go get the BB gun because I had their word on it. If he, being evil, knows how to give, how much more will your heavenly Father back up the word that he gives? So what I'm saying is our perspective can't be from time, space, or even from our experience. It has to be back onto God's word. There are many things in God's word that it seems like, I thought that would have already happened. And other people read God's word and they say, well, this will happen and this will happen and this will happen and that will happen. But it is God's time. Yeah. We're living in the last days, the end days. Did you know that? Yes. Do you know that? Yes. Well, Paul thought he was too. Yeah. And he was. And he was. Now, we're nearer to the end than he was. But what if Jesus doesn't come back for another 1,000 years? I don't think that's going to happen. But if it does, that doesn't mean that he was off. It means my perspective was off.
Yeah. That's good. That's right.
Jesus even said, man, no man knows the hour or the time. That's only in the Father's hands. I'm not touching that. Yeah. Right? So, again, what I'm trying to say is that, Lord, help me not only with my knowledge of your word and how to line everything up, but Lord, I really want to hear your perspective. How are you thinking? What are you feeling? What is your insight? How the word, I'm reading the word and I'm reading it along, and I'll do this oftentimes. Holy Spirit, I don't understand this. I don't see it. And I need to have your perspective. There are many portions of the Bible, even today, that I prayed that prayer years ago. And I've started to get some, but I don't have full revelation of it yet. But I asked for it, so I have it. Are you listening to what I'm saying? God, you prove yourself to be faithful and true, and you are. And so I can trust you. I can trust you. Go to Romans chapter 4. We're going to talk about Abraham. You know, we think about Abraham. We think the faith of Abraham and the father of you know, the nation of Israel. And all the world will be blessed through Abraham. And you think, and he's in the Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of faith, he's right in there, a lot of written about him. But Abraham was just like you and me. Just like you and me. But he heard God and he obeyed God. But some of the things that he believed in the end, he didn't fully believe while he was going through it. Right? In other words, God promised Abraham that all, and through his seed, all nations would be blessed. But it didn't happen that month. It didn't happen that year. It didn't happen that decade. It took a long time for the true fulfillment of that to come through. And God took him through some things so that he could see his perspective. Look at verse 16. Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith that we might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. I love that. I'm included. You're included. All who will believe are included. Are you with me? Now watch this. For it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Now, for many years, I read this like Abraham was the one who called things that were, that, you know, didn't exist. But actually, this is God speaking. But it doesn't matter because God revealed his perspective to Abraham. So get this. You're going to be the father of many nations. That doesn't exist yet. It doesn't exist yet. And if you remember the story, God did things throughout the story to begin to tell him different things. Like, he said, Abraham, look up at the sky. See all those stars? We can see stars here, but I'll bet Anita can attest to this. And back in the Midwest, when I would go out in the middle of nowhere with no lights anywhere, but in Montana, I know it's the same thing. You look up at the night sky and it's like, where did they all come from? But God's taken Abraham out into the night sky and he's saying, look up. Look at all those stars. Why? I want you to see my promise through my perspective, and I'm going to give you a picture of it. Just like those stars up there, so shall your seed be. So shall, coming out of your loins, the promise of the Messiah, but also a nation that is going to be as numerous as this. Just think about this, the sand of the sea, another picture. See, word pictures sometimes are the most powerful things to establish something in your heart. Why? Because if you can see it, you can believe it. If you can see it, you can believe it. It has that effect also even with feelings. If you can get somebody to feel what you're feeling, they'll react differently than if they just try to get a mental understanding of what you're feeling. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so what God is trying to do is get us to his perspective. So he wants to take his word and give you the experiences of seeing it through his perspective. And not just reading it. I've read through the Bible many times, and I go through different programs to read and read lots of chapters, and that's great. That's good. That's awesome. But what I want to see is, Lord, not what my teacher told me or not what this tape tells me or not what that tape tells me. What I want to hear is your perspective into my heart. You see, because in order for me to believe in my heart, I have to see what he sees. And I have to see it as mine. Are you with me? So again, I've made you the father of many nations. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Now watch this. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believe, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. What I'm saying tonight is, Lord, help me to get, not just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, not just read the epistles of Paul or John or Peter or you know, any of those things, but Lord, help me to see what you were saying when you spoke to them to write it down. In Ephesians chapter 1, there's a prayer in there that says that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened that you might know the hope of your calling. In other places it talks about getting a knowledge of God. But the knowledge of God is not just your noodle having the facts, but it's your heart hearing the perspective. Are you listening to me? So it's kind of like, Lord, I hear what that's saying, but I want to see your perspective. I don't want to just see your perspective. I want to feel your perspective. I want that to become my perspective. You see, when it becomes your perspective, his perspective becomes your perspective. That's the point that you don't doubt in your heart. I got to confess, there have been many times that I've tried to believe in my heart, but I didn't really see it from his perspective. And so therefore, there was still doubt in my heart. And God wants to take us to a different level. And at this time, at this hour, and here's the cool thing. You think, but God, I've been saved my 40 years. And still, I feel like I'm just barely getting to know anything. And if God was here, and I'm not necessarily, you know, speaking on his behalf right now, but I would think he would say, well, you got time. Because your eternity with me will be revelation of what I'm saying. So in other words, we can get frustrated in our lack of it, or we can just bask in the fact that I have a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and the blood has made me, given me access to His throne room, and the Holy Spirit has been sent to live on the inside of me, to reveal to me, to show me, to give me the perspective of God for all of the promises that were yea and amen in Christ Jesus. See, that's what I'm talking about. And He has the absolute ability to do that. So good. So good. Where are we at? We're at 19. I love this. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, or the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. He wasn't strong in faith the whole time. God had to, again, reveal the picture and show him in his heart that the promise was true. And the minute that that came, he was strong in faith. And against hope, he believed in hope. In other words, I'm 100 years old. The woman's old, right? I mean, the lady that you gave me that hasn't given me a son all of these years, she's old. But when you saw it through God's perspective, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if that tree is, you know, fully grown and it's not the time for figs. I can still speak to it because God told me to speak to it to give a picture to the disciples so that they would know how to speak to the mountain or the obstacles that they were going to face when he left. Right? It's, I want you to see what power are in your words when God is in the center of your perspective. And remember, Peter and John going into the temple. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. Rise up. And it says they reached down and grabbed the man who'd never walked there, and he raised him up. In themselves, they couldn't do that, but they saw themselves at that moment from the perspective of God and what Jesus had told them. And then they were able to do that because God was with them. So being fully convinced that he promised he was able to perform. I was talking with the Lord this morning and saying, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And I know there's some things even in the ministry that you placed me in. I'm so grateful and all of that. But there's some things that I've left on the table, so to speak. It's like you've done great things and I've seen great things happen. And we've watched, I could testify for a couple of hours on the great things that God has done. But I know that there's more. And the only reason that I left on the table and the only reason they were is because I couldn't see the situation through your perspective. And so tonight, I'm asking the Lord to take all of us and help us renew our perspective. Verse 20. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced of what he had promised he was able to perform. You see, getting God's perspective will bring you to the place that you become fully convinced that if God promised it, it's a done deal. And I could tell you that you already have that if you know that you know that you know that you're saved. Because I could ask you a question and I know your response. If you died tonight, do you know you'd go to heaven? How do you know that? Have you ever been there? No, but you've had the witness of the Holy Spirit in your heart. I have eternal life because I remember the moment that I received Him. Right? And so I may not see it, but I know it. Why? Because I believe that He who promised, if I believe in Jesus, He would give me everlasting life, is true to His promise. And not only that, I've seen the perspective of His heart for me when He revealed Himself to me. So I'm fully convinced. Fully convinced. One more scripture and we'll start to close. I don't want to lie. Go to Mark. This is a really interesting story, but Mark chapter 5. And again, I believe all these instances with the disciples was getting them from their perspective and Jesus transferring His perspective to them. So that when He left, they'd say, oh, wait a minute. Remember? Remember? And remember this story? Watch this story now. It's really cool. Verse 1. Luke chapter 5. It's all right. I got Luke in my notes. I just said Mark. I don't know why. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, so it was as the multitude pressed about Him to hear the word of God, He stood at the lake of Gennesaret. And He saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them, and they were washing their nets. So he's got a multitude around him. He sees people out in the boat, and they're not in the boats anymore because it fished all night, and they were putting their nets up. And then He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and He asked him to put out a little from the land, and He sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. And when He stopped speaking, He said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. It didn't make sense to Simon. Simon's a fisherman. Simon knew the sea. Simon knew the time that you were supposed to fish and the time that you weren't supposed to fish. And this wasn't a good day for fishing. This wasn't the right time for fishing. This man was a carpenter, not a fisherman. That's speaking this to him. But Simon answered and said to Him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at Your word, I will let down the net. See, this describes our lives in many, 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 many cases and many situations. Lord, this doesn't make sense. Why should I forgive? Lord, why should I give? Why should I do this? Lord, it doesn't make sense. It would make more sense for me to hoard my money than to give away my money. It would make more sense for me to, you know, just put that person out of my life rather than pray for them. It would make more sense. But nevertheless, at Your word, watch, at Your word, we're going to let down the net. That's so powerful. At Your word, we're going to let down the net. And when they'd done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and they filled both boats so that they began to speak. And watch this. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at the feet of Jesus. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Think about that. He saw this miracle and he knew that it was a total miracle. This was impossible. So he knew, again, saw who Jesus was. Saw the power of God in Jesus. And he fell down at his knees and said, get away from me, man. I believe if the holiness of God showed up in this room tonight, even though that we are recreated to be in His holiness, our flesh would tremble, right? But we have to take our perspective away from our perspective, our way of doing things, our ability to get things done, and begin to see God in us. And then begin to take Him at His word and begin from His perspective and by His word proclaiming over our situations what He's promised. I believe that you have to speak to doubt to get it out. Let me just say that again. You have to speak to doubt to get it out. And what do I mean by that? Well, I'm not sure if God loves me or not. You need to tell yourself, shut up. No, really. Speaking to yourself, I tell myself all the time, shut up. In other words, I'm saying that thought does not come from God, and I'm casting it down because He said, I'm accepted in the beloved. He said, it's by grace that I'm saved, not anything that I've done, least I should boast, but it was totally of Him. And His grace has come to me, and by faith I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Therefore, His love has been shed abroad in my heart. And behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed unto me, that He should call me a son of God. So I have to speak to the doubt that I don't belong and say, no, according to His word and what the Lord has given to me and my perspective in my heart, I know that I know that I know that I know. No matter what I feel, no matter what it looks like, no matter what situation is running around me, He loves me. He's for me. He's not against me. Amen. So again, tonight what I'm talking about is getting His perspective. And you're only going to get that perspective as you begin to see Him in the Word and you begin to talk to Him. Talk to Him about your doubts. Talk to Him about His perspective. God, this is what I'm seeing. This is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm experiencing in my life. But in Your Word, I see a different perspective. I understand a different perspective, but I'm not truly seeing it in my heart. Help me, Lord, to see Your perspective so that I can walk in a way that pleases You. Amen? Because the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For you must believe that He is, and that you must believe that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Amen? Did you get something tonight? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for all of those that are watching online. And Lord, it's just amazing the reports I get from different places. I just ask You, God, that You would take these words that I've spoken and help us to let them just resonate into our hearts until they become a part of us. I want to see You. I want to know You. I want to know Your perspective so that I can change my perspective so that I can do what You want me to do. Lord, all those who are watching online, if they need healing for their bodies, if they need peace, if they need finances, Father, I ask You to bless them. If you don't know Jesus, ask Him to come into your heart. He's speaking to you right now. Just ask Him to come into your heart and say, Lord, one lady, like she said, if You can use me, here I am. Just that way, and God will touch you. God will work with you.